You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You know, if I was in bifocals, I would use a larger font. So I would, as to not strain my eyes further with my accelerating age.
Hey, I can see all right. I can see it okay.
No, I can too with my really good eyesight, but I'm like, man, I use a 13 and usually bold.
I think this stuff is crap.
What stuff? Oh, that sticky.
It doesn't want to stick.
What are you talking about?
It's a little light.
The light that goes around.
Yeah, I need to get... Oh, there's a whole thing about that light.
Please tell us all about
the struggle.
Well, the stupid thing won't stay connected to like Wi-Fi.
Oh, well, you can't even see it in the video.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's on Wi-Fi?
Yeah, it's connected to a little device that you can use with an app.
I see.
But it doesn't like to stay connected to it. So it just pisses me off.
I've had an interesting few weeks.
Uh-oh.
Not like crazy, just I live in a duplex, which I love. It's, you know, tiny. I love, you know, small spaces. Mm-hmm. But it means that I share a single home, basically, with other people.
Yeah.
So that means that since our last recording... Someone has died in my house, but not in the half I live in.
No.
We didn't know either until they came to get the body. We're like, why has the ambulance been parked outside in the driveway?
It's not like they were
so
there
long?
For a long time, though.
No,
right?
No, because okay. They're disabled, and so they have daily nurses. Oh, yeah. That like okay. There's nurses there 24/7.
That's good.
So, you know, it wasn't like that, but it was just after we saw them leave with the body, I'm like, huh. Someone died in my house this week, and I had no idea.
Yeah, that's a little...
Just not in my half. That's got to love a duplex. But
was you there when they come to get it?
Yeah. Because, you know, they're older and disabled.
Is it male or female?
They're both male. Mm. So the ambulance was parked out there for a good long time. And they come quite often. So, you know, we weren't like... But after it was there for like 45 minutes, we're like, what the hell's going on?
I just spit and this all over dead. Myself.
What is it?
Kim's ruining my story.
Sorry.
No one gives a shit that you spent your time.
I cut it all over myself. I didn't mean to.
But now that's the end of it because Kim ruined a climactic
story. Gosh dang it,
story.
Kim.
So what's the point?
You can continue, Josh. I'm still listening.
No, seriously. It's out of my brain.
I don't remember what you were talking about either now. We're both the same person.
I know.
Person died next door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
All those cars...
It's done.
It's not Kim, though.
It's done. Kim ruined it. Thanks,
why are you
Kim.
Complaining about Kim. Me drinking?
Because you had a tell.
Because you were interrupting Josh. How rude.
Treat me like I'm Shane.
Listen.
Like I'm Shane.
I am not myself. I'm not going to be myself for probably a good week, so
You know she's always sick. She's always got something.
Always an excuse.
No, I've just been without meds for a while.
Oh, Lord, don't we know it.
I thought I had... Right. So I knew I was going to be without of insurance for a little bit. So I thought I had enough stockpile to last me until my new insurance started to where I could get my meds, you know. Well, one of them I forgot to anticipate.
Oh.
And then the other one, I was like,
"Your Beano,
5 or 6 short." So I'm like, "Son of a gun!"
Gotta love the American healthcare where so you have just, to hoard your medication.
Right.
So it's just enough that, well, I've not taken my vitamin D for 3 weeks or so.
Go outside. So in the sun.
I have absolutely no energy. I just want to sleep. I just want to sleep.
Can the sun's natural vitamin D.
That's true.
I mean, I've been out. It's been too hot, number one. Yeah. The last couple days, it has been
humid.
Yeah.
It's been horrible. And then the other one was my depression medication.
That'll
mess you up.
Yeah.
Especially.
And it didn't hit me. Well, I started rationing it when I knew that I was gonna be without. Mm. Instead of twice a day, I went back to doing it once a day.
After all these years, you'd be used to being without.
I know. Right? So, but that did last me for a long time. But then I was out completely for a few days, and it was enough to make me feel like shit.
Well, speaking of the heat. We all live in Indiana. We're highly aware of corn sweat.
Ugh.
I did not know just how much it could increase the humidity.
Yes, a lot.
Yeah, 10%. Mm-hmm. And just the vapor it releases emits up to 4,000 gallons a day per acre
of field,
mm-hmm. raising the humidity by over 10%. I'm like, no wonder it's been so hard to breathe. You know,
I never knew that was a thing until just a few years ago.
I thought it was like...
I thought it was crazy.
Like blinker fluid. Right. Just something stupid old farmers said growing up.
Yep.
Oh, that corn sweat. I'm like, yeah, cornhole, corn sweat. It's all the same.
Right.
They come to find out. Oh, no.
So if you're watching our video today, I just want to quickly mention, if you see me on my phone, it's because there's an event downtown that although I am not having to work... I'm still like the person, the director that's in charge of the company that runs it. So I keep having to respond to messages.
I wondered because when they ran
out of sourdough.
Oh, no. But also, speaking of this video, if you're joining us by video, which right now is on Patreon, you can sometimes find it on Spotify and YouTube. If I keep up with it, I'm a hot mess. But you're going to notice probably a little higher quality. And
don't count my wrinkles, please.
This is our first time using these new cameras.
And you're welcome.
Yes. And we'll find out if we can even use this footage because it's the first time we've ever set it up.
So you know how that goes. More than likely we are not.
All right, right.
We might be a black screen right
That's
now.
That's true. But one thing that I bring this up because, Kim, you are familiar with Canon cameras. Mm-hmm. So I was hoping when I got them, I was like, you know... It'd be a learning experience, but Kim has had a Canon camera since 1912.
Toxic optimism. Mm-hmm. That I have often, where you think something or someone is better than they really are.
See, here's the problem with him thinking that. Number one.
He gets disappointed.
My camera is at least probably 10 years older than what these are. So the technology is going to be completely different.
These are still mirrorless. Isn't yours mirrorless?
No, it is not.
Oh.
Oh.
No, it is not. Oh. And number two.
Mirrorless is more expensive, Josh. I don't know if you knew that.
No idea.
Hence is why Kim does not have
it's a little mirrorless. Higher quality. Yeah.
Yeah. I did look at them at one point, but I'm like,
that's why I was thinking of it.
Yeah. We did look at them at one point.
Kim likes to shop for cameras like she's shopping for homes.
I've really kind of gotten out of that. I don't do that as much anymore because I don't have the time to do photography like I used to. Okay. But I have a grandbaby coming.
Oh, that's true.
So
she used to do a lot of senior pictures.
Yeah, so I'll probably get back into it. She
did pictures for you and I.
Yeah.
At that park.
Yeah, that's a good job. That was your first time meeting her, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
The beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Right. And number two problem with the statement that he said that I've had. Yeah, mine has video capability on it, but I've never used it. So I've never used my cameras anything other than photography.
Well, son of a gun.
So
she always does her OnlyFans with Polaroid.
Right. Well, the reason I was going to ask is because as if you ever join us in our studio, you'll see that there's a little like preview monitor that we can see what's filming.
Yeah, that he never lets me see.
I can only have it one direction. First of all, Kim, we all know I'm the techie person in here who always has to fix all everyone's tech. So what am I? I'm going to face that towards you. The whole screen would be turned off one day, and you wouldn't even notice.
And I'm the only one who can see it from this far away.
That's true. You wouldn't be able to see it turned around there.
I could see
it. Size of an iPad.
I have trifocals, you know. And number two, you don't even just let me look and see, make sure I look okay if I think I look all right. He always asks Josh, Josh, do you look okay? Are you sure you're all right with the way you? Thank you. I appreciate you, Josh, because he just does not care.
Well,
I mean, I can only do so much.
He's not a miracle.
You got to crack a smile or something here and there.
Those are going to be few and far between.
But as I'm looking at the monitor today, I noticed that on Kim's camera and on Josh's, there is a notice that says there's no card in the camera. You don't need one when you're filming this because it's all hooked up to this, which is recording it. But my fear is that it's going to be in our, like the video, like what I don't know, what we'll learn from this.
What will show up.
Yeah, because I thought that whatever shows up on this monitor is what's recording.
And they know we're not.
Yeah. You know, this is the growing pains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're a growing boy, and we are eating.
You would think that once we would get something that we like, we would stick with it instead of trying something new, though.
But the problem is the other cameras just aren't the best quality.
No, they're not.
Like, they're decent to get what you need, but that always irked me. Just that, you know, if you're trying to make clips and stuff, it's
the
just.
Clips would be.
Yeah,
blurry.
Grainy. Yeah. So these are a much higher quality.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it goes then.
And I'll try to fix the no card and camera on the Unmasked episode.
Yeah, well, if we're going to take them with us to CrimeCon 2, they're going to have cards.
Yeah, I have cards.
Oh, you do have cards.
I'm just not sure where I put them.
I'm excited for CrimeCon.
We have our itinerary kind of planned out on how we're going to go, or what we're going to do on the way there. And
I just want you to know, Kim, while you were bitching.
Bitch.
In our text message group. I have an Apple Watch, right? And I get this text message, and it's like, Kim, and I don't remember exactly what you said. You're like, oh, ha, 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 ha. And I was like, oh my God, something's wrong. And Josh's like, what's going on? And Kim's like, this is the only way I can ever get his attention, so he'll respond to a text message. And I'm like,
yeah, I called
let
you.
Me sit down right here.
I called
here.
You by your legal name.
That's might have been what it was.
Mm-hmm. Shane Logan Hoyt.
Yeah.
Scott
well,
Waters,
when I
Jr.
saw it,
III.
I thought, oh my God, something's wrong. Something is wrong. Josh, your camera just
I'm
went.
I'm in trouble.
Your camera just went out.
Oh no.
Well, what happened?
Why's it got to be mine?
I know.
Is it plugged in good?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
You guys keep talking.
I just met this camera just this morning.
Maybe it just decided it didn't like you.
I bet it's a setting.
Probably.
You guys
I've never met a camera that didn't like me. Are you crazy?
I'm actually really excited to play with these cameras. I've not had a new camera in a really, really long time.
Make sure to wash your hands first.
So I'm excited to see what they'll do when we go on our trip.
Do you guys see you can now Venmo the United States government to help pay off the national debt?
Wait, what?
You can now Venmo the United States government to help pay off the national debt. Did you see that? That's a thing you can do now.
I want to say so many things. I want to say all of the things. And all of the things are not good things.
No, there's a lot more pressing issues. But, you know, I knew that would send us in a whirlwind. And this was just something I was like, really, really, really? Venmo,
right.
The government.
Right.
Yes. Who the hell's going to Venmo?
I mean, and if they didn't keep
Can I request
going,
from them?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, considering we have to pay more for everything. Right. Okay, I'm not going to, I'm
right.
just not.
I just, that shot. Was out of everything. I'm like, how preposterous.
Josh, this is not the time to get me going. I have been unmedicated.
She's got it. Oh, cool. I got another fun fact.
Why oh, God, here we go. Tell me.
I learned, you know, I love cosmetics. I love a good cosmetic. And I love learning about the history of cosmetics, like Queen Elizabeth, you know, and her lead-based makeup and blah, blah, blah. Well, in the 1600s, they used to use a facial moisturizer called puppy water.
Puppy water?
Yeah, puppy water.
Is it pee?
No, worse. Much, much worse. Puppy water, again, from the 1600s, the ladies putting it on their face to keep moisturized. The recipe was 4 pounds of sullet oil, which I believe is like a fish oil. 2 newborn puppies.
The whole puppy?
Yep, 2 of them. Boil the puppies until they fall apart, and then mix with the fish oil. And then, after you've been letting a pound of worms soaked in white wine, you strain the worms, mash them up, and mix with the puppies and the fish oil. And then they were putting that on their faces for moisturizer. I think that's one of the worst history facts I've ever learned.
That is just disgusting.
I know people
And the
have
people
been,
that are looking at the camera right now are going, oh, Kim's face is a little horrible. It's worse than what it usually is.
So yeah,
that is disgusting.
It bothered me to such a degree. I'm like,
I wouldn't have slept for days.
Why? Who? How? I'm like, I know, you know, humans were especially brutal
now you're playing with my
in
camera.
The past.
That yeah. is so sad. That is so sad.
And I'm like, who the hell thought of that? Boy, I got all these puppies on a dry face. What do I do? Not that. Not that.
It just makes me think of Ruby.
I know. That's exactly what I thought, dude.
Poor Ruby.
Like, oh, my God.
How can they do such a thing to Ruby?
I know. That's why I'm like.
Cry. I'm unmedicated, Josh. Dang it.
Hey, I got you off of politics, didn't I?
That's true.
I knew that would do it.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, it also rained chocolate in Switzerland one time.
Rained
That's
chocolate?
That's a fun fact. In 2020, it rained chocolate in Switzerland. A lint factory malfunctioned and sent cocoa powder flying into the air, like a shit ton of cocoa powder. So much that it snowed down on the village of Olten. Cars, houses, streets, everything
was
coated
chocolate.
In a nice layer of cocoa powder. Chocolate snow.
I mean, if it's got to snow.
Right.
Why can't it be chocolate?
I'm like, that kind of sounds lovely. I mean, it's Switzerland, so maybe they don't have as many ants as we do here. But at first I was like, oh, how nice. And I was like, oh, the bugs.
But if it could only be white chocolate. Well, because, brown cocoa powder would not be really pretty.
Oh, poop.
Yeah, there's poop everywhere.
Don't lick it. You can't lick it. I mean, cocoa powder's not sweet.
No.
It's quite bitter.
No. Yeah, so if it was white chocolate, that might be one thing, but.
White chocolate's not technically chocolate. But I still like it.
I like white chocolate.
White chocolate here.
I like white chocolate better than dark chocolate. I do not like dark chocolate at all. If I eat chocolate, it's got to be milk chocolate.
I've acquired a taste for it. Mm-mm. Not like total, you know, it's got to have some sweetness to it.
Yeah, I can't. I don't do.
All right. So right
better?
Now we are good.
Are
There's
sure?
nothing on anyone's okay. camera. Everyone's camera's on.
Hello, me. It's nice to see you again.
And Josh's favorite person is here.
And I got one more fun fact.
Okay, let's do it.
Who do you think owns the most gold in the world?
Well, you said who, so I'm guessing it's a person.
Just to give you, not a person, just to give you a clue, the U.S. Reserve has 8,133 metric tons
allegedly.
Of gold, allegedly. And the who could be a country, a group of people, etc., owns over 3 times.
What do I feel like? It's a religion.
I feel like it's
gold.
Russia.
Like Mormons.
Russia.
No,
I don't know.
What's the?
You're kind of on there with the religion. It is not so much a religion, but it does have a spiritual connection with this group of people. But Indian housewives.
What?
Indian housewives.
Oh, like as a group of people
combined. All the housewives in India. Own a combined total. Now, again, the U.S. Reserve, 8,000 pounds of gold, tons of gold, 8,000
tons.
That
really makes sense. They wear
Indian
a lot of
housewives,
gold.
25 to 26,000 tons combined of gold.
That makes
more
a lot of
than
sense.
All the reserves of every country That's in the fine. World put together. the Indian Housewives, and I am here for it. I love that. I'm like, yes, honey, wear them bangles, them jewels. I'm like,
It makes a lot of sense because like, all wear.
Well, it does have the little face thing on my phone updated,
and there are a lot of them.
Yes,
like India has a massive population.
Oh yes, I looked up the spiritual importance. Gold is considered sacred and auspicious metal in India, associated with purity, divinity, and eternal wealth. A lot of them, like for weddings, anniversaries, etc. And just as a logical thing, gold is considered a reliable and safe investment that has a tangible value. You know, other things like property, businesses, etc. will go up and down. Gold does fluctuate, but it always, it tends to remain a high value no matter what the fluctuation is.
Yeah.
So I'm like, spiritual and logical. That's pretty cool. Of course, Indian housewives. Yeah. They're all those things, and I love them. Obsessed.
That is true.
We think we got housewives here in America, you know, the Real Housewives shows. I'm like, put one in India, honey. All these traditions and the gold and the dishonor. I'm here for it.
Well, I feel like a lot of the housewives that people know about on TV and stuff, I just feel like they're just using credit.
Oh yeah,
you know, I feel
cash
like
cash poor.
Yeah,
cash poor.
Yeah, I just feel like the India,
they got the real old money.
They're
old.
Careful with their money.
Oh yeah, got the old money.
Do you guys ever have the issue or the thought? Like I was thinking about this the other day that sometimes I feel like most of the time I'm really cheap.
Oh, yeah, I'm very frugal.
But then there are some things I will just splurge.
Oh, yeah.
What is it for you guys?
It's honestly just random stuff. Like, I'm going to go buy bread and milk. And then I'm like, ooh, this will bring me a couple minutes of serotonin in the car after I purchase this. I'll go ahead and get that.
Yeah. What about for you, Kim? Yarn. I could see that for you. When I've gone to the store with you, I mean, but in your defense, yarn is one of those things that you buy, like you pay for what you get.
Yeah.
A lot of times, at least. At least from what I have felt. Because sometimes I'm like, oh, this yarn is real cheap. And then I'm like, God, can you imagine if someone made me a blanket out of that?
That's the way that's the way I feel about the Red Heart Super Saver, because I do not like it. I think it's too abrasive. But the Joann's cheaper stuff.
Rest in peace.
Do you wash your yarn before you?
No, I don't.
Crochet?
Are you supposed to?
Yeah,
some people do.
Mm. It helps soften it,
but it like prevents it from like shrinking and stuff.
Yeah,
or messing up.
Brittany, wash it. My friend Brittany, she gets pantyhose, and then you put the whole thing in and tie it.
Yeah,
and then
I thought about doing that because
it makes sense.
The colors really help with the different collars too.
Yeah, like I've seen them like kind of. Get off shape.
Yeah. The colors that I bought for our buddy Rick's blanket, it was mostly Red Heart because that's just the color that I needed.
They make
and I couldn't find it in another brand. Yeah. And so I was going to, and I'm like, I'm always afraid to do it after I make something because I'm afraid it's going to fall apart.
Right. I used yarn that was like wool that if you pulled it too taut, it would just pull apart. But the one you don't like, the heart kind, it is made out of, you know, it's plastic. Whereas, you know, the other stuff is like cotton or natural fibers.
This isn't Joann's. This is Karen. Karen.
You can always tell too, because the natural is like matte, whereas the heart kind has a shine to it.
Yeah, I don't care.
You're like, this is a plastic blanket. I don't use it
unless I absolutely have to for some reason. And that was the only thing that I could,
they're good.
The right colors that I could find.
Like people making like quilted decorations for walls and stuff, it would be good for that because it is plastic. It's stiffer, it'll last literally hundreds of years.
Yeah, so.
Did you guys see my coffee mug?
I did. That's a nice one.
Yeah, so a lot of times when I work downtown, I'm working out of Modox, and they have similar cups to our, they're made by the same person, to our Mystery Ink cups.
Yeah.
But then they just got these in, and I was like, oh, I want one.
It's a nice size.
Yes, that's what I like about it. And because someone like hand makes them, the size, like, it's just so pleasing to hold.
Makes
and I
me
feel
think
like
a ghost.
I thought that too, actually, when I first was drinking from it.
You in danger, girl.
But I really like that. Like, I don't know. I've never had a coffee cup like this. Well, the thing is it's, I mean,
it looks like an ale or mead mug from like,
but I feel like it keeps my coffee just a little bit warmer for longer.
I don't drink hot coffee though. I have to have a tumbler.
Well, they do because that's a clay based. So clay is thicker. It'll insulate your coffee more. Whereas the ceramic ones, that's a much lighter glass. It doesn't offer hardly any insulation. It does to your hands a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, I've thrown most of mine away. But I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't want to
scald my hand. Welcome to the...
And I don't know what it is, but I feel like... And maybe it's just like a mind game, but I feel like coffee out of actual like handmade cups, I don't know, it just makes it taste a little better for me. It
feels more cozy.
Yeah.
I love cozy.
Yeah, I think that's it. Like, it feels good.
It's the same feeling as like having a sweater pulled up and a double clasp. And
yeah.
Same vibes.
Well, I've not had a nice sweater like that in a long time that had long sleeves.
It sucks being so tall.
You know what I miss? You remember when we were in school and I bet you had some, Josh. Like people would have those long sleeves that like you'd put your thumb through it.
Yeah, I had a couple. Yeah.
I could see you having some. That's why I thought about it.
I thought it was gross because a lot of people would just wear it constantly and they would get so dirty. And I'm like, you know, you're supposed to like, when you eat, pull them up. I treated them like dinner gloves at a banquet. You know, it's me. I've always been this way. So all the other kids are getting like stained ones and they're getting wet. I'm like, even
you ever had a few of those?
Well, even like those jeans, they would be like kind of baggy. And the style was to like let them trail, kind of touch the floor. Mm. The kids would they'd get so dirty. They'd get wet every time it rained. Yeah. I'd be rolling mine up pleated. I'm like, hell no, I ain't getting these dirty. These cost money. Had to get in our trust fund to get these. I feel like we did take really good care of any of our school supplies and stuff because... Yeah. We would go get some money out of our trust fund every year for school supplies. So, you know, we were like, this is ours. You know, so I don't know. We always took extremely good care of
with Josh saying that, it makes it sound like someone gave us all this money and we're trust fund kids.
I was like, trust fund?
Because of our dad's car accident when he was.
Oh, so you got Social Security or
SSI. Sort of.
There was like a lawsuit between him and like the train or something like that. Like there was money for him to live on and money for his boys, you know,
for the kids,
for anything we might need growing up.
It wasn't a lot though.
Yeah. Used it for school supplies once a year.
It was for school supplies and to buy some new clothes.
Yeah. So not like trust fund is a
no, and it was the word completed it was titled. By the time we got finished.
I'm really
by far,
really.
Oh yeah, it wasn't a lot of money.
Oh yeah,
so it wasn't something that was specifically allotted for you, like a certain amount allotted for you for
a year. It got like added to it until we'd both turned 18, and then it was just meant to be like an extra level of support while we were children.
Okay, that makes more sense. I've been unmedicated for a long time. My brain's not working. My brain isn't working right.
I don't know that her brain's ever working. Because are you always unmedicated?
It made me think of my ex-husband when his dad passed away. He got survivor's benefits from his dad.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I was thinking, but I'm like, wait a minute, your dad's still alive.
I'm pretty sure just because he was disabled and wasn't able to pay, like, child support, you know, based on your income for working, it was set up kind of as a child support. But you had to have both of us to get out of it. So I like that about it.
I've been in the government side of things too long now. Because now I'm like, how did they do that?
Well, you know what? We come from old money.
Come from coal miners'
coal miners, homo.
Speaking of old money, well, it's really new money. Tell the people where we're going to go, Josh, when we go to Denver.
Oh, we're going to go to Molly Brown, the unsinkable Molly Brown's home. We're going to do a tour. I'm so excited. She's one of my favorite American historical figures.
Yeah. And that her house is absolutely stunning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm excited. When you showed me, I instantly, that scene from Titanic where Rose Dewitt-Decatur's mother is new money. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yes, she got the new money. You can tell because it is gaudy and it is marvelous. Mm-hmm. Marvelous.
Really cool. Really cool place. I'm excited to go back.
Yeah, me too. This is Josh's first time to Colorado.
Yes. I've flown over, but never down in it.
So where are we starting at, Kim? Do you remember?
Indiana.
We're seeing a dead president first. Josh, you're so clever.
The first one is in Iowa.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly where in Iowa, but it'll be Herbert Hoover's. Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
His memorial. Hoover.
We should bring a little.
Does he have a... He probably doesn't have a presidential library, does
21
he?
He's Hoover too old.
I don't think he does. But yeah, that's where we're going to start at. And then we're going to go to...
Where are we going, Kim?
Are there any
Estes Park?
Estes Park.
I'm excited for the national park the most.
Yeah, have you looked up pictures and stuff?
Just the ones Kim has sent. I'm excited for the national park. I'm excited for the live. Like, that's the thing I'm most excited / not nervous. Like, I hope I do a good job. Just, nervous. Like, we talk in front of a camera that can't talk back. We're going to have people in front of us.
Right.
Yeah. But the thing about Estes Park that I think is so cool, I remember my first time like driving around the mountain and you pull into Estes Park, it just feels like it's another country, like something from Norway or Sweden,
Switzerland,
up in the mountain.
Yeah, up in the mountains.
It just is unreal.
And there's elk everywhere.
Yeah,
you remember the great big herd of elk that went across the road?
We need to find a couple. I know there's that world's largest truck stop, which...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll probably stop there.
But I know there's got to be a couple other world's largest things around.
Oh, well, we drive through that little town. That's not far out of Indiana, remember? I can't remember the name of the town, but... It has a bunch of world's largest stuff.
No, that's Casey. You're talking about Casey, Illinois, and that's south.
Oh,
I thought that we'd go through that on the way through.
No.
Oh, well, hey, never mind, Josh.
I love miniature things, and I love overly large things.
Yeah, I need to research it more. I mean, we didn't really, we kind of got a rough estimate on what to do, but I need to really break
and
it down.
It's always best to, have ideas, but when you set stuff in stone.
I like just getting on the road and saying, oh my God, look, there's the biggest blah, 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 and we're just stopped. That's
the
what I like.
The signs make it exciting.
It does. It makes it exciting. And you didn't know it was there. We just kind of happened upon it. So that's the fun part for me.
Bathroom.
Right?
Oh, look, world's largest rocking chair.
We did that.
Public toilets.
We did that. We did something like that when we went to Nashville and Memphis. On the drive between Nashville and Memphis, I was with the other two people that was working with us at the time, and we come across a battlefield, and one of them's like, hey, let's stop.
Yeah.
So we had, and I think that was probably one of the best interviews that we did that trip.
For sure.
He was really good.
He was really good. But his beliefs on the South were very interesting.
So you think they won?
No, he didn't think they won. He just was maybe a little racist. His views on Nathan Bedfield were not as poor as history recalls. And he just felt
kind of sympathetic.
Yeah. So we recorded a hometown history episode there with him. And so in the episode... You know, the thing about history podcasts, and the same with Hometown History, I try not to correct anyone, history is,
When you're interviewing someone, you're in their
respectful,
words.
Respectful, But there was a time when he was talking about, I believe it was the Battle of something Pillow. I can't remember the name of the only reason I remember it was Pillow because he kept saying Pillow.
Yeah, Bilebiter? That's what it was.
The Battle
was
of something Pillow.
I think it was.
No, there was something. There was a word in front of Pillow. But anyway, he was talking about it, and this specific battle of the Civil War involved a bunch of African Americans. And when the South got up to this fort that they were at, they were in the army, and so they were defending it.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At one point, as it normally should have been in all the other battles, when one side gives up, the fighting stops.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, you guys gave up, now we're okay.
That's
we're...
the honor of battle. Right.
However, when the African-Americans tried to stop it, like, okay, hey, we're outnumbered, we're good, they just kept killing them all. So there was just, there was a massacre of people who had died. And so his recollection, if I remember correctly.
I believe I covered that on Rotten.
Oh, I'm sure.
Sounds very familiar.
The Battle of Fort Pillow.
Yes.
That's what
it's called. Yeah, that's what it was.
The Battle of Fort Pillow. Because he kept saying Pillow. But anyway, so when he says some things about his view on history, I do believe that was one of the only times I've ever recorded a podcast where I did intervene a little bit.
Where you're like,
in the actual recording.
They massacured them because they were
kind of I feel like some history is kind of subjective, maybe.
Well, it's being rewritten.
But there are
right
some.
Now.
I mean, the thing about Fort Pillow is we know what happened because so many people witnessed it and wrote about it. Mm-hmm. So history is somewhat subjective because of according to who's writing it. But if you have so many accounts saying the same thing, it's hard to
write.
And there's so many of them that had died. So, but one of the things I remember when I walked into his office, well, first of all, when you walk into this little museum on the side of the road,
that was really neat. The little museum.
Yeah. There was a big picture. And I believe it's Nathan Bedford that I'm thinking of.
That yes, sounds, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, he started the KKK.
Yeah.
And there's a huge picture of him as you walk in. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. And one of the other guys who knows a lot about history, we both automatically looked at each other and were like, did we just walk into the KKK headquarters? Like, where are we at?
Probably.
Like, both of our eyes were big. And you could tell Kim and the other guy who was there had no idea who that guy was in that picture.
I did.
They were like, walking through.
But didn't he also get out of that once it started going the wrong direction?
Sort of. He started backpedaling a little bit, I think, because he knew we were being
recorded. It's like, letting the true caller shine.
Yeah, he's like, people are going to get real pissy about this.
No, I mean, I'm talking about the actual guy, not the guy that we interviewed.
Well,
but he's the one that actually that started it.
You're talking about Nathan Bedford.
Yeah, right. But didn't he eventually get out of it because it was going too far?
That's what the guy said. Whether or not he got out of it for that reason or another, I don't know.
Just like any other cult.
That makes sense.
Sometimes they get off the handles, but still the person that started it, you bear an arm of responsibility.
Yeah. But I remember walking to that guy's office and there was on his bookshelf, the first thing that caught my eye was these monkeys.
Oh, Jesus.
And I don't know what about it made me think that it had a reference to African-American people. I have no proof.
There aren't any monkeys in America, in the United States, or in the South.
And maybe that's it. But
what does that have anything to do with anything?
Anything to do with anything. And it's at a civil war.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing that and I thought,
I'm oblivious to that kind of stuff. I don't notice it.
We would have been at the headquarters of the KKK. Kim would have no idea. Can I come and buy some souvenirs to support this place? These are some nice people.
Yarn stores around here?
Yeah.
Their accent's so cute.
I bought this shirt. It says, I only like white.
She'd come out of there with a shirt and a magnet.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
No,
definitely not.
She'd have no idea. Just walking out there, just a skipping.
You're ridiculous.
There's some nice people in there. They're real nice.
Hey, welcome to Hometown Mystery Inc. History.
Those bathrooms are real clean. Did you guys go in the bathrooms?
Right.
You're ridiculous.
There's a nice camera you can wave in while you're in there using a pisser.
Lord. Lord, help her. Help her, Lord.
Bless her.
Today's my mystery, you know.
Yes, I know.
And I got it right here.
Josh already has it for you.
I know why. Not just because we had to read your mysteries the last couple times, but when I was printing that, I saw what time you uploaded it.
I'm telling you.
It was like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would.
I thought, I started the time must be on.
I didn't get home until like almost 8 o'clock last night. And by the time I got started doing that, it was 9:30, maybe 10 o'clock.
What were you doing?
I was busy.
Oh my gosh.
I do have a life, you
know?
Well,
when you got stuff to do, you got to put that stuff down and do your stuff.
Well, I had a nail appointment. I couldn't miss a nail appointment. So anyway.
She's been so busy. She got her nails done.
Here, Josh, I need you to read this for me.
So I'm like, okay, I had figured out what I wanted to do on the way home. And because we're going to be going to Denver, and you'll hear it in a minute. So I started, and I got the majority of it down on paper, and then I started falling asleep. I fell asleep, and I'd be asleep for a little bit, and then I'd wake up for a few minutes and do a little bit more, and then I'd fall back asleep.
She's so busy, but
God only knows how this is
going to
turn out.
How many TikToks she sent us this week?
Right? That's what I was thinking, too. I ain't got no time. I'm just so busy.
You know that when I send those is when I'm laying in bed.
Oh, I know.
I thought you were going to say on the toilet. That's what mom that can, toilet.
Sometimes that happens too, but no.
Sometimes you need a turd puller, as Grandma would say. She'd holler that from the bathroom. Help, I need a turd puller.
I really enjoyed listening to Josh do my mystery the last time, so poor Josh is probably going to be reading mine from now on.
Well, Kim, that's sad.
I don't mind.
I think it's fun to listen to him do it.
It's kind of fun going in it blind.
It is.
Yeah, that's what. All and I seen him over there kind of shuffling through, and I'm like, don't read it.
I'm just checking names so I can.
Oh, no, that's not bad. No, it wasn't bad.
Luis Jimenez.
That's the only one in there.
So I was like, that ain't bad. Jimenez.
That's the only one in there. I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna pronounce this anyway. Just stuck it in there.
See, this is why I could be a news reporter, because I can go from laughing to real serious real quick. Airports are supposed to be symbols of movement, connection, the thrill of adventure. But what if an airport became something else entirely? What if buried beneath the terminals, the taxiways, beneath the hustle of delayed flights and luggage carts, was something ancient, something cursed, even sinister. Today we're flying into the shadows surrounding Denver International Airport, a place haunted by mystery, plagued by bizarre accidents, and rumored to conceal everything from secret societies, a lot of S's here, Kim. Everything from secret societies to subterranean bunkers, and maybe even something worse. Fasten your seatbelts. This is one layover. I gotta add to this. Fasten your seatbelts and point to the exit, because this is one layover you won't forget. It's fun, Kim. Denver International Airport, or DEN, as it's known, is no ordinary airport. It opened in 1995, making it relatively young, but it's already one of the busiest and largest airports in the world.
I had no idea.
Me either.
I always thought O'Hare was.
It says one of the largest.
Well, it's second only to King Fahd Airport in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. King Fahd. There we go. It spans over 53 square miles. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it is massive. I'm assuming that you guys have never been there.
Hell no.
Yeah,
we sounds like anxiety.
Well, I've flown.
Not, yeah, I've not
it.
Been in the
but
airport.
But it's several
but
stories.
Ooh.
Underground.
The one in Vegas, we had to take a train to get to part of it. That
yeah,
was enough
this,
for me.
This is the same.
It has long runways over 16,000 feet, and they can accommodate any aircraft in existence. But yet, despite all its modern features, the airport has earned a dark reputation. We've all been there, honey. Let them believe what they're going to believe. Conspiracy theorists, ghost hunters, and curious travelers alike whisper about the odd murals, demonic sculptures, secret tunnels, and most of all, the feeling people get walking through the airport. A chill, a presence. Something unseen. That's just gas. So what exactly is going on beneath the runways of Denver? Let's go back to where it all began. In the early 1980s, officials began scouting new land for an airport to replace Denver's older Stapleton Airport. By 1989, construction was approved northeast of the city. But from the start, things went wrong. Artist Luis Jimenez faced multiple health setbacks, including a heart attack and...
Hang on a minute. Those are out of order.
I'm just reading them how you gave it to me.
Let me look.
They're front and back. Did you notice that?
Oh, no. Jesus, Kim, front and back.
He should be okay now, Kim, because if he figure out which paper he was reading, he'd just flip it over.
Okay. Okay. Didn't know they're front and back. Good Lord. Take a breath. Oh, yeah. But from the start, things went wrong. The airport was delayed 16 months, and it went $2.2 billion over budget, ultimately costing a staggering $4.8 billion. One major failure was the futuristic automated baggage system, unveiled in a humiliating press event where reporters watched suitcases fly off the rails and get torn apart. God, no one thought to test it first.
Right.
The system was scrapped in 2005, never having worked properly. Some called it bad tech, others called it a curse. And it wouldn't be the last time Den's history was marked by misfortune. One of the most enduring theories is that Den was built atop a Native American burial ground, but there's no concrete evidence. But many point to the endless construction problems, and bad luck is proof. Some say the land itself is cursed, that spirits were disturbed, and that their energy still lingers in the halls and tunnels beneath the surface. Travelers and staff alike have reported cold spots, sudden shivers, and a feeling of being watched, even when they're alone. Who the hell's alone in an airport? What the?
Well, they're always going to be. People are always watching.
Right, yeah. You're always on camera.
Yeah.
It might sound like superstition, but the dead don't always stay buried. Your descent into Denver starts with a horse. Towering 32 feet, cast in electric blue fiberglass, the Blue Mustang rears up its hind legs with blazing orange-red eyes. And locals even call it Blucifer. And like many things at Den, this horse has blood on its hands. Or hooves. That's good. I like that. That's funny. The project was commissioned in 1992 for $300,000. But the sculpture didn't make it to Denver until 2008, 16 years later. Well, why? Artist Luis Jimenez faced multiple health setbacks, including a heart attack and hand surgery, which obviously slowed his ability to work. Add to that the fact that fiberglass sculpting is a meticulous and physical process. As deadlines passed, tensions rose. The city sued the artist to recover the $165,000 it had paid up front. He countersued, and eventually they reached a mediation agreement, and Jimenez was set to finish the work. Despite everything, he was determined to see it finished. In 2006, the artist was working on the statue in his studio, and a piece of it broke loose and crushed him. Jesus Christ. Severing an artery in his leg, and he bled out on the floor? Jesus! God! All for a blue horse. His family and fellow artist finished the work, and in 2008, Blucifer was installed near the airport entrance.
And it is very... he's.
Oh, I've seen it. Too. Pictures it of huge. It before.
It's crazy looking at night.
I get the name Blucifer.
Yeah.
And it killed the guy? It killed its dad?
Right.
To some, he is just a bold piece of art. To others, a demonic sentinel, guarding whatever lies beneath. His glowing eyes, a tribute to Jimenez's father, who worked in a neon shop. But to passengers driving past at night, they're a warning. you are entering haunted ground. Inside the terminals, the strange vibe continues. High above the baggage claim, there are two massive gargoyles crouched in suitcases with menacing grins. How trashy. This place sounds gaudy as hell. Not in the good gaudy either. Sculptor Terry Allen created them as protectors of travelers, and he likened the airport to a cathedral. And in cathedrals, gargoyles keep the evil away. But visitors don't feel very comforted by them. With their shifting eyes and twisted faces, many feel these stone creatures aren't there to protect, but to watch. This sounds terrifying. And then there are the murals. Painted by artist Leo Tanguma, the murals at Den once filled entire terminal walls. At first glance, they seem vibrant and colorful, filled with children, animals, and themes of peace. But look closer, and one panel shows a gas mask soldier wielding a... I've never seen this word in my entire life.
Neither has
they
she.
They are hard words. Here's a word I've never seen or heard pronounced.
I don't remember what it was.
What is it?
S-C-I-M-I-T-A-R.
I have
Scimitar.
To write
Scimitar?
Let me, hold on. I gotta write down.
Scimitar.
Okay, spell it.
S-C-I-M-I-T-A-R. Scimitar.
It's a sword.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's one of those swords that, like, is angled. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, you remember Aladdin? Like, okay, that little... Okay. Ooh.
Well, one panel shows a gas mask soldier wielding an angled sword. Another features burning cities, weeping children, and animals locked in glass boxes. Who okayed all this art at this airport?
I remember.
My God.
I went through it in 2008.
Let's add some flowers or a blue wall is calming. God. Yeah. One quote written in the artwork is attributed to a child who died in Auschwitz. What will calm passengers during stressful flights? I know. Demonic gargoyles and horses and thoughts of the Holocaust.
Can you imagine
if, right now?
If that was Josh's first flight, he lands and he's like,
get me back on this plane.
I'll Uber back to Indiana.
I've died and gone to purgatory. The artist Tanguma said the murals were meant to represent the horrors of war and the hope for peace, but many weren't convinced. You know, you can do that at any other places, a museum, a library,
anywhere.
An airport is not. Jesus. Well, the artist faced death threats, and rumors grew that the murals were coded warnings of a new world order or a prophetic apocalypse. The paintings have since been removed from display, but their legends remain. I just can't imagine. Uh-uh. Did no one like, oh, hey, boss, I left those approvals for the new artwork murals on your desk. Don't forget to take a look at them before you sign off. Eh, I don't need to look at them. I feel like that's what happened. Jesus. Auschwitz at the airport. I would be so like, yeah. No wonder people thought, oh, New World Order.
Well, and the man in the gas mask was, that was a big mural up on the wall. And I remember walking by and I'm just thinking, what the hell?
Just paint, do a nice Bob Ross flower.
Put up some of the random hotel artwork that's just printed.
Jesus. It's Denver. Paint some mountains, for Christ's sakes. Well, just beneath your feet in Concourse A sits a cornerstone. Inscribed on it, the Freemason symbol and a reference to the mysterious New World Airport Commission. An organization that doesn't seem to exist anywhere else. And this is where the whispers of the Illuminati take root. Freemason involvement in public buildings isn't unusual, but combined with everything else, Lucifer, the murals, the gargoyles, it raises some eyebrows. Why all the symbols, And why all the secrecy? Denver International Airport isn't just big above ground. Oh, I just how I like my men. It's big down below, too. The airport is said to house a massive network of underground tunnels more than any other airport in the U.S. Officially, they were part of the failed baggage system, allegedly, but many believe they're still in use, just not for luggage. Some say government bunkers lie beneath Denver. Others say they house alien experiments or are shelters for the elite in case of a nuclear war. It combined elite in, and I was like, what? I've never seen a lighten. Mm-hmm. What is the word a lighten? Sounds Irish. And here, the creepy part is already been creepy. Right. It's been creepy since Lucifer. Access to the lower levels is highly restricted. Oh, boy. Even airport employees often don't know what lies beneath the service doors. Former workers have reported strange noises, sealed tunnels, and rooms with no explanation. Why are they hiding? Denver International Airport is modern, efficient, and stunning in design, apparently. But something feels off about it. The deaths, the symbols, the secrets, the eerie silence, no more S's. You gotta, when you're writing for me, you gotta think about S's. Gonna be a snake crawling in here. The eerie silence of tunnels that no one will talk about, whether it's all coincidence or something more, is still unknown. But if you ever fly through Den or flying in for Crime Con, take a moment to look around, watch the horse, glance up at the gargoyles, and listen. You might just feel that cold chill so many others have. A presence, a whisper, maybe even a warning. You like that? And you got your retro.
Don't give her paperback. Make her read it from memory.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
She can't even remember to remember.
Right.
Now, what made me think of it was the Lucifer, because I remember when we went and we drove around and stuff. I remember the story. I can't remember. I think Linda and Rodney might have been with us when we went around it. And they had told us that, you know, the guy that done it was killed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I wonder what else is going on there.
I've heard, you know, bits and pieces, but nothing. Like, I've never looked into it.
The thing that's surprising about it for me is that it's such a pretty airport. And then that horse is real weird.
Can't believe
the
how big it
inside.
Is.
Have you seen pictures of that?
Oh,
of
yeah. It? I've seen
it
Lucifer.
It looks like tents. No, I mean, I'm talking about just the airport in general.
Oh, not
It kind of looks like tents because they wanted it to blend in with the mountains. Oh. So it has like peaks, you know. Yeah. It looks like a tent. It's interesting. Yeah. But I thought, yeah, this would be perfect, especially for those people that are going to come see us from Crime Con.
I did like when we arrived at the Vegas airport just because, I mean, that was my first real flight. I'm not including the hour to wherever our first layover was. But I had never been in such a large building or in a building that had so many people from all over the world. Like, the people watching was just subpar. The men, oh, the men. I almost followed this group of Italian men. I couldn't understand what they were saying, but my God, they smelled like Armani heaven. And I wanted to, felt like Pepe Le Pew just drifting, like, ooh, let me follow the scent. Scent of man. It was lovely. And that gay porn star I saw there, too. That was a real cherry on top.
That's funny.
Are you going to give it to us, Cam?
I don't know. I just have absolutely no.
Give me a rut row.
Okay, let's see. In Fort Pierce, Florida, a 50-year-old woman was arrested for allegedly hitting her ex-partner with a dildo during an argument.
You want to see how it feels? I'll slap you with mine.
Big and black.
After a Sunday afternoon wreck in Denver, officers found a man slumped over in a running GMC Yukon. One officer climbed in and shut the engine off to help him. The driver suddenly woke up. started the car back up, threw it into gear, and took off speeding with the cop in because he was so scared.
What'd the cop do? Just crawl up like, you mind pulling over there, bud?
They pulled him over a few blocks later and arrested him.
Definitely wouldn't want to tase him.
Let's see. Police in New York were called to a mini mart where they found Blake Leak, a 23-year-old, trying to break in. They chased Leak through the streets until both cops took a tumble. Seizing the opportunity, he sought refuge on the grounds of a large building. The building was the Sing Sing maximum security prison, where he was promptly nabbed by a guard.
Gotta love Sing Sing.
Yeah, let's go hide in Sing Sing.
I think it sounds like he needs to do some planning first.
Yeah, you would think.
None of her rut-rows ever do any thought-out planning. Bless them.
A good Samaritan noticed that an elderly man was being robbed, so he jumps in to save the guy, punches the thief, to which the thief was so upset he called the police to complain.
Oh, my God.
I've watched cops before when people who have bought drugs got scammed.
Oh, yeah. And I'm called.
I can't.
I got scammed.
They stole $40 from me. Well, what were you trying to buy? Well, that ain't important.
That ain't what's at issue.
Flour. Cookie.
Lord.
A man walked into a Baton Rouge, Louisiana hotel and asked the clerk for a room. The clerk wasn't a clerk. He was a state trooper. And the hotel wasn't actually a hotel. It was a police station. And he was arrested for public intoxication.
My God. I'd say,
yeah.
Can I get a room for the night?
He had to be really, really drunk to think that a police station was a...
Well, he did get a room for the night.
He definitely did. And it was free, too. Yeah. It was free, too.
No room service, but...
Nope. All right. Are we all ready?
Yeah, I think so. We'll catch everyone over on Unmasked.
Yeah.
Hey, I got my final.
Oh, you're going to actually do that part, yes, Kim? You're not going to make us do it?
No, I should, but no. Just
real quick, have you guys seen that the comedian Luann has a Netflix series now?
I've seen it on Netflix, but I haven't watched it yet.
You've seen Luann Morgan, is that her name?
Leanne
Morgan. She's blonde-haired comedian from Tennessee. She talks about her big girl panties.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's got a series now on Netflix. It's really good. It's from the creators of the series Mom, Chuck Lorre, I think. But I've watched a few episodes already. It's good. It's similar to how her comedy is, like the stuff she talks about, like she going through menopause and all that.
I'll have to watch that.
But instead of, like, she's still with her husband, but in the series they divorced her. But it's funny. Yeah, I liked it. I was like, I love her comedy. So I was like, yay.
Yeah, I'll have to watch it.
Yeah. Yep. Give us your spiel, Kim.
Okay. All right, Kim, go ahead.
Come visit us at our website. It's mysteryinc.com. Have we ever gotten that back?
It should be up by the time this episode airs.
Okay, sure. Where you'll find all of our photos, episodes, all of that good stuff, all of our merch, the cups, the tiny dicks, the t-shirts, the necklaces. Oh, my goodness. What else do we have?
Your panties.
All of those goodies. No, we sold my panties.
Oh, that's true.
I thought we took them down.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think we took those down. And make sure you'd come and join our Patreon. There you'll get the behind scenes of our daily lives and special videos. Josh does cooking videos sometimes. And
I'll be doing a butterscotch pie at some point.
And when we travel, we like to let people travel with us.
A travel vlog so and have all kinds of fun. There's a lot of great people on there.
Oh, they're amazing.
Don't forget, also, CrimeCon is September 5th through the 7th in Denver, of course. We just heard all about the airport. Make sure you save that money and come and see us.
If you fly in, take pictures of the airport for us.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure we'll probably go. We'll drive by it at least so we can see the horse and stuff. And thank you for joining us today. If you like this episode, share it with your friends or your favorite conspiracy theorist. And don't forget to leave us a review.
Yes.
All right. Well, guys, we'll catch you over on Unmasked. Bye. Bye.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs,
plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.